You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.
In July of this year, Anders Breivik murdered 77 people in Norway. Prior to those murders, he spent a lengthy amount of time preparing a 1,500-page manifesto. In that manifesto, he was very careful to establish the groundwork for his anti-Muslim ideology. One frequent inspiration was Robert Spencer. In fact, Robert Spencer received the most references from Breivik, 162 in all. Spencer is a blogger at a site called Jihad Watch, but according to a new report, he is not just some random blogger venting his frustrations, he is part of a small but well-funded group of bloggers and writers who are spreading fear of Islam. The report, Fear Inc., the Roots of Islamophobia Network in America, was released last month by the Center for American Progress. Eli Clifton is one of the authors of that report, and he has joined us by phone from Washington, D.C. Hello, Eli, and welcome to Vancouver Cooperative Radio.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Now, in the introduction there, I was just talking about Robert Spencer. Who else is part of this Islamophobia network in the United States?
Well, that's really something we tried to map out in this report to show that, you know, this is a concentrated effort by a relatively small group of people who have had really an outsized influence, given the numbers we're talking about. But really what we've tried to do is map it out, starting with where many of these movements start, with the money, where we point out that about $42.6 million has flowed from seven nonprofit charitable foundations in the United States over the past 10 years into this network. And from there, it goes to some misinformation experts who we identify, and we talk about the reach that, you know, this has actually resulted in attempts and in sometimes success in passing anti-Sharia legislation, as they call it, in more than 23 states now. So it is a network, but it is something that we can map out, and it's something that actually, I think that when we identify it and look at it in this way, we can identify that this is really the product of a very small group of people who want to push an Islamophobic agenda in the United States.
Can you give me an example of the kind of report or the kind of information that these writers put out?
Absolutely. I think a very good one to look at is some of the things that have come out of an organization called the Center for Security Policy. This is an organization run by Frank Gaffney. He used to be very much one of the people warning about the constant threat from the Soviet Union. With the end of the Cold War, he kind of switched his fear-mongering, if you will, over to American Muslims. Now, he, along with a co-author, David Yerushalmi, wrote a report called Sharia, the Threat to America. Now, this report, it seems as if it actually, portions of it have been used and reused in this anti-Sharia legislation. And when you actually look at this legislation in the various states where they've attempted to pass it, it's very often word-for-word copied from other legislation. So it seems like this report actually was a bit of a nexus for pushing out these ideas, which, as they say, are largely baseless when you look at the actual threat of radical Islam in the United States.
Now, you mentioned that a lot of these sort of writers and networks, they get quite a bit of funding. Where is that funding coming from?
Well, I think that's really the new thing we bring with this report, because there have been other good reports on Islamophobia in the United States. But why don't I give you an example of sort of three of the biggest donors we looked at. One, and this is kind of a unique one, is called the Donors Capital Fund. Now, the Donors Capital Fund is basically a pass-through for philanthropic dollars. But it has the quality that money that goes into it then gets distributed, and you can't necessarily identify where the money originated from. But we do know that a businessman from Chicago, Barry Side, pumped $18 million into the Donors Capital Fund, which was then contributed, passed on, to an organization called the Clarion Fund. Now, before the last presidential election, around 20 million DVDs of the Islamophobic documentary Obsession, Radical Islam's War Against the West were handed out for free in swing state newspapers, showing up on people's doorsteps, and it cost $18 million to do this. That's by far the biggest chunk of funding we've been able to identify flowing into the Islamophobia network. Now, the next two examples I want to give are actually far more easy to track. One is the Richard Scaife affiliated foundations. He's based in Pittsburgh. He's given to a number of right-wing causes and organizations over the past several decades. He was one of the biggest pushers of the conspiracy theory, really, around the Clintons, and through his newspaper in Pittsburgh, he pushed a lot of this very successfully. He contributed over around $8 million to the Islamophobia network that we identified, primarily to Stephen Emerson, the Investigative Project on Terrorism, Frank Gaffney, Center for Security Policy, as I mentioned earlier, and the David Horowitz Freedom Center. And then finally, I would point to the Lyndon Harry Bradley Foundation, which is sort of, actually both of them are dead now, but this is, it's run in their honor. A number of well-known conservatives serve on their board. Robert P. George, Princeton University professor, is on there. Columnist George Will is on their board. They gave $300,000 to the Middle East Forum, $815,000 to Center for Security Policy, and $4.25 million to the David Horowitz Freedom Center, which partially funds Robert Spencer. So that's a total of $5.3 million coming from a mainstream conservative charitable organization, clearly pushing this agenda.
Oh, and why are they funding these anti-Islamic agitators like Robert Spencer? What's the rationale?
You know, that's really the, in this case, the $42.6 million question, and it's one that we get asked pretty much on a daily basis when we do interviews or when we talk about this report. And the report is 139 pages, and I'm sorry to say we don't have an answer. We've reached out to all of these foundations, and none of them responded to us. So I think it's a really valuable question to ask. I know that since the report has come out, we've actually heard from board members from two of these foundations saying, whoa, I had no idea what was going on. I don't know if I can change things. I'm just on the board, but this is crazy. I'm not a fan of this stuff. So it has been a wake-up call for some of them. I think some of them don't know necessarily, or not everybody involved knows. But I think some of them are probably quite ideologically committed. You'd have to ask them, and they don't generally want to talk about it.
Mm-hmm. What role has the mainstream media played in this anti-Islamic campaign?
Well, I think that's something that we're hoping that this report will really make a difference in, is that some of the key players in this Islamophobia network are sort of these pseudo-experts or misinformation experts. We have people like Frank Gaffney and like Robert Spencer and Stephen Emerson of the Investigative Project on Terrorism, and you'll see them showing up on television as somehow terrorism experts, when really their track record is terrible. Steve Emerson said that the Oklahoma City federal building bombing was the product of Islamic terrorists. Well, he was wrong, and sort of he had egg on his face, as well as all the journalists that quoted him at the time. Robert Spencer has indicated that he thinks that President Obama is still a Muslim. And Frank Gaffney regularly floats just totally out there conspiracy theories, such as the Obama administration's missile defense logo was somehow giving into Sharia because of the logo, when really it was using a diagram of an atom. So these are the type of people we're dealing with, and I'm hoping that when we publicize the types of things they've said and done, that perhaps they won't find the mainstream media such willing accomplices, if you will, in giving them the bully pulpit.
How much of a bully pulpit do they actually have in the mainstream media?
Well, I mean, they do show up on Fox News quite frequently. I think Fox News is by far one of the biggest places that they can find a friendly audience. You do see them holding events in Washington, D.C. Their reports get coverage. I think that you often see them called up into committees on Washington, on Capitol Hill, to give testimony as supposed terrorism experts. I think that, you know, how they're accepted as experts kind of goes across quite a variety of mediums. But I'm hoping that they've never really been challenged in the way that they have been through this report.
Uh-huh. And now to return back to Robert Spencer for a moment, clearly he didn't kill anyone in Norway, but what kind of responsibility does he and the rest of this anti-Islamic network in the United States bear for those events?
Well, you know, Robert Spencer was quoted. I'll admit I haven't read every page of Anders Behring Breivik's manifesto. It's long; it's around 1,500 pages, and he does copy and paste quite liberally. But Robert Spencer's work shows up 162 times in this manifesto. Now, I don't think that Robert Spencer has endorsed the violence that Breivik unleashed. I don't think that Robert Spencer is directly responsible for it. However, it is very clear that the ideas and the writings of Robert Spencer and many of his allies served as an ideological inspiration for Breivik. And the truth is that Breivik saw that the West was at war with Islam. Well, the reality is if we look at the numbers, it simply doesn't work out that way. Since 9/11 in the United States, there's been only 33 deaths from Muslim terrorism, but there's been 150,000 deaths from murder. So people like Spencer really, really pick out individual stories of Muslims committing crimes, usually violent ones, and then say that this represents the norm of what goes on in the United States and often in Europe as well. And I really do think that he's dangerously misrepresenting Muslims in communities in both the U.S. and in Europe. And when people read his work, at least one person saw it as a call to violence.
How have they people like Spencer responded to your report?
Well, you know, Spencer has certainly responded quite angrily. I think he referred to it as the Islamic supremacist propaganda machine cranks out another Islamophobia report. One of his close allies and the woman who he runs Stop the Islamization of America with, Pamela Geller, wrote that we should choke on our own vomit. So, the funny thing is that they've responded quite angrily. They haven't really had that many factual disagreements with our report. And I think that's the thing that really stands out, and we in some ways take that as an endorsement of our work, that while they clearly are very angry that we've identified them and their role in pushing this sort of bigotry in America, they haven't been able to really call us out on many factual problems in our report. And so I think that's a very interesting thing. Spencer says that he's never... He's made simply inaccurate claims in his response to us. He said that he's never made blanket statements about Islam or said that Islam is inherently violent. But that's simply a lie. Here's some of his quotes. He said, of course, as I have pointed out many times, traditional Islam itself is not moderate or peaceful. He said, it is the only major world religion with a developed doctrine and tradition of warfare against unbelievers. And he's claimed Obama is a Muslim, saying, quote, ultimately only he knows the answer as to what he really believes, but certainly his public policies and his behavior are consistent with his being a committed and convinced Muslim. I think that speaks for itself in terms of where Robert Spencer comes from.
Well, I want to thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you.
I've been speaking with Eli Clifton. He is one of the authors of Fear, Inc., The Roots of the Islamophobia Network in America, a report released last month by the Center for American Progress. You can find that report in its entirety by going to americanprogress.org.